Reading from James 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And I'd like you to listen to these next things. We're going to be talking about some of these things a little bit. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He causes to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now I'm going to read the last couple sentences here to make this complete. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And this is the word of our Lord. So, murderers, adulterers, slanderers, coveters, what does this message have to do with us? I didn't ask you to put your hand down. I didn't ask you to raise your hand. Okay. Does this message have to do with us? Is he talking about the world? Well, to know that, let's find out who he's talking to. Go back to James, the first book of James. First line say, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. James is talking to people of the way. He's talking to the people who were scattered away from Jerusalem when the Romans began persecuting them. He's talking about the people who were scattered away from Jerusalem when the Jews were persecuting them. And he refers to them as the 12 tribes, like the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, he's making that comparison. And then he keeps referring to you as brothers. in his scripture. He keeps referring to you as and he does refer to us as you adulterous people. But he's referring to people who know scripture. James is writing these harsh words to people of the way, to Christians. James is writing these harsh words to me and to you. Now, we can think, I never murdered anybody. I don't go around coveting. The thing is that Jesus taught us that when we feel hatred in our hearts, that when we feel evil in our hearts and we allow ourselves to dwell on it, it is the same thing as doing it. We cannot control what wells up in our heart, what comes to our mind. We can't control what we see as long as we stay in places we ought to be and don't seek out things that we shouldn't see. We can't control what we see, but we can look away. We can't control what we hear, but we can walk away. We can't control what temptation the evil one puts before you, but we can run away. James is saying that when we allow ourselves to dwell upon angry memories, when we allow ourselves to dwell upon painful thoughts that we harbor towards others, when we allow ourselves to dwell upon the desire for things that we have not received, this is who he's talking to. Because Jesus taught us that any of us who harbor those things in our hearts, who allow our minds to dwell upon those, allow our eyes to rest upon those, are guilty of these things. And James is saying that we need to remove ourselves from these things. We need we cannot stop them from welling up in our heart. We cannot stop them from coming into our minds. But once it's there, it's our decision what to do with it. We cannot control ourselves from being tempted, but we can control ourselves from yielding to temptation. We do not have the power to prevent thoughts entering into our minds, dreams coming into our night that we don't want, but we can control whether we dwell upon them. This is not about the Holy Spirit becoming thought police for us. This is not about an Orwellian type of thing where people fear that they're being held account for every thought that they have. God knows who we are. Jesus became a person, was born into this world. He was 100% fully human, yet 100% fully God. And his fully human body experienced these same thoughts that entered into his mind as you did. This fully human Jesus experience this same anger, the same hate welling up in his body, the same holding people to account for things that happened in the past and not forgiving them. He had the same yearnings, the same desire, the same type of emotions that you and I have. I know that because we're told in Scripture that he was fully human. He was born into a human body. And yet he was fully God. And this is a struggle that Jesus had always. And he even talks of this in the scripture. Again, saying more for himself and them than for those around them, my time has not yet come. It is not time for me. My hour is not here. Jesus had the power to strike down those who tried to stone him, and yet he slipped away from their midst. You have the power to strike out at those who speak ill of you or to you. But you also have the power to slip away from their midst. You have the power to respond in love where people respond to you in anger. You have the power to listen even when you're not being listened to. And you have the power to speak even when it would be safer to be silent. You have the power to witness even when it's not safe to witness. James is acknowledging this human struggle that we have. He didn't say, if you have this or if you do that. He's saying, it's there, folks. Deal with it. But how do we deal with it? It's impossible to deal with without the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us in our thoughts. It's impossible to deal with this on our own level. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. God didn't give us the Holy Spirit as a bonus. God gave us the Holy Spirit as an essential part of our being. If people do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, they are lacking something that is needed to deal with life. Anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior needs to be ready to receive the Spirit, to acknowledge His presence, to acknowledge God as King, to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the only way to life and life eternal. James is telling us that these are things that we deal with, whether in thought or deed. It doesn't matter. It is only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is only through giving up ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, to help us to hold that moment of silence until the Spirit leads us to where we need to go, instead of jumping in with both feet and everybody around you, all of your friends saying, man, you showed them, you told them, they got what they had coming. And instead, those who allow the Holy Spirit to believe walk away with peace. The peace that passes understanding, the peace that only comes through the Holy Spirit, leading us to know what to do and when to do it, and most of all, how to do it. You know, all of us have heard, and you know, we've heard the scripture many times that the Lord will never put us in a situation of temptation without providing us with a way through it. That's a paraphrase. And I've often said that sometimes I'm amazed at how much confidence the Lord has in me, you know, with where He places that He puts me sometimes. But the Lord will not give us more than we can bear. And even though we know on an intellectual basis that the Lord will not give us more than we can bear, we sometimes make ourselves bear a lot more than we need to. We allow ourselves to go through much more pain than is required. We allow ourselves to dwell in painful, difficult situations much longer than we need to. Just as we were talking about the miracles of having the healing of the Holy Spirit lead us through our fears that we have earlier, we talked about earlier today, we only receive the answer for our prayers when we trust in the one we're praying to. Would you answer the request of somebody if you knew and knew for a fact that the whole time they were asking for something, they were saying, I'm asking this, but I know this dumb bunny's not going to give it to me. Would you answer that request? I'm asking God, but I know that God doesn't care. I'm going to ask God for this, but I'm pretty sure what the answer is going to be, and it's not going to be good. No, we have to go into prayer, seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us to know what to pray for. We have to go into prayer, trusting in the one that we're praying to. We have to go into prayer knowing that God is delighted to deliver us from pain. That God is delighted to deliver us from temptation. That God is delighted to take us to the next level of peace. And we have to believe it. And it's okay to pray as the man did who came and asked Jesus to heal his loved one, his servant. And Jesus said, if you believe, they will be healed. And the man said, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. It's okay to pray for our unbelief. It's okay to pray for relief of doubt. It's okay to pray for confidence. There's a reason that God sent Jesus to earth in a human body, with human emotions, with human weaknesses, with human challenges. And it wasn't so that God could learn what it was like to be human. God's already all-knowing. God did that so that you and I would have confidence. So that you and I would know. So that you and I, with the limitations of our human minds, could grasp that God sent His only Son as a human being to live among us, to die upon the cross, but to be tempted and to be in pain, so that we can understand God's relationship with us, so that we can understand that God knows what it's like to be you and me. It wasn't done for God to learn. It was done for us to understand and to help us with our unbelief. James writes to the Christians in what seems to be harsh terms. We live in a very harsh life. We live in very, very difficult times. We live in a time when, while we may not be persecuted outright in this country, there is persecution of Christians every place you turn. We live in a world where we turn on the news and see beheadings, and we live in a world where sin is made acceptable because it's everyday sin. It's on television. It's in the music. It's in movies. It's in the books. It's on the mouths of people that we pass in the street and in the offices and even sometimes in the churches. We live in a world where we have been desensitized to immorality, where we live in a world where we have been desensitized because it's everywhere we turn. And it's easy to think that it's normal. And it's easy to think that it's okay. James is saying it's not okay. God is saying it's not okay. God is saying that we have to start at the very basics. We have to start with our thoughts. We have to start with our eyes. We have to start with our minds. We have to start with our hearts, placing them under the control of the Holy Spirit, or there is no hope. We cannot make it on our own. On our own, there is no hope. But with the Holy Spirit, there is no possibility of failure. With God, there is no limit. With Jesus Christ in our lives, there is peace. There is hope, and there is joy. Amen.